Welcome everyone to the President's Dinner. Everyone has arrived. Sounds like a full house. Okay, welcome, welcome. I'm Donna Pomerantz, President of CCB. Pam Metz says, really? Welcome everyone. I thank all of you for coming to the President's Dinner to share time. There is a good amount of talking and stuff because folks are still getting situated. But I would like to turn the microphone over to our Mistress of Ceremonies, Ms. Deborah Thompson, who is President of the ACB Capital Chapter. A warm welcome.
Okay, hi everybody. I'm Deborah Thompson, as Donna said, and I've been chapter president now for about a year and a half. So I'm getting used to talking in front of this microphone. But I want everybody to give their ideas about what we're doing tonight and get involved in the discussion. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to pass this around and everybody can introduce themselves, and then we're going to eat. And as soon as it seems like everybody's done eating, then we'll start their conversation. But before, I'm going to do the invocation so that we can do that all up and not have any breaks. Okay? Lord Jesus, we thank you for this food, Father, and we thank you for this fellowship and this time to get together and to exchange ideas, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for it, and thank you for this food and all the workers that are helping with this convention. Amen. Okay, now I'm going to pass this around to the person to my left, I think.
Hi, I'm Pam Pology from Temple City. I'm the treasurer of the San Gabriel Valley chapter. Thank you.
I'm Artis Bazin. I'm president of the Glendale Burbank chapter, and I'm from Burbank.
I'm Kevin Berkery. I'm from Burbank, California.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Pamela Metz, and I'm president of Greater Los Angeles chapter.
Good evening. My name is Penny Valdovinos, and I'm president of the Greater Bakersfield Council of the Blind.
Diane Deutsch, delegate from Greater Bakersfield Council of the Blind. I live in Tehachapi. I'm also a member of the Redwood Empire Council of the Blind.
I'm Irene Nunez from Active Blind Inland Valleys.
I'm Bonnie Trottle from Sacramento, California.
Albert Contreras from Temple City and president of the Alumni Association, OCB.
Introduce yourself and pass it to your right. Yeah. Sam Chen, Silicon Valley.
Roger Peterson, Silicon Valley.
Bernice Kandarian, Mountain View, California, president, California Council of Citizens with Low Vision.
I'm Mike Heathley, president of Silicon Valley.
David Hoffman, Silicon Valley chapter.
Marie Herrera, East Los Angeles chapter.
John Wayne from San Fernando Valley.
Thank you. Oh, Mary Beth Randall, president of Guide Dog Users of California, Fresno.
Tom Randall, member of the Greater San Joaquin Valley Fresno chapter.
This is Tuan, a delegate for the ACB Capital Chapter.
I'm Susan Hyatt. I'm the Vice President of the Silicon Valley and Council of the Blind. And I'm from San Jose.
Preston Moses. I'm President of the Alameda County Chapter and also a member of Bayview Chapter as well.
Hello. There we go. I'm Doug Martin, from the delegate for the San Diego Chapter.
I'm Patty Davis. I'm the alternate delegate for the San Diego chapter.
I'm Linda Amate, and I'm the member at large of California Council.
I am Pete Romero. I live in Sacramento. I'm a member at large.
Melissa Hudson, member of the Greater Los Angeles chapter from downtown LA.
I'm Joseph Lopez. I'm a delegate from the San Diego Braille Club. I live in Santa Barbara.
I'm Pam Loveland, former president of the Alameda County chapter, now a member at large.
Okay, is there anyone that didn't get the mic that may have come in during this process? Can raise your hand. Okay. See, it worked.
That's self-advocacy at work. Linda Perel, president, San Francisco chapter.
Peter Pardini, member of San Francisco chapter, treasurer of the California Council of the Blind, and the person that signs that check.
Shirley Manning, member at large, Los Angeles. Sherry Gabrielson, president, Bayview chapter.
Frank Welty, vice president of the San Francisco chapter. Lame Duck, Director of Advocacy and Governmental Affairs for CCB, which means I'm still a office mate of Ed Branch. Oh, had to do a quick plug. On the 28th, there's going to be an organizational meeting for a CCB chapter in Concord. So if any of you know folks in that area, let them know.
I'm Beth Berenson. Sometimes I go to my San Francisco chapter meeting, but I definitely pay dues. And I'm going to get to share an office with Frank soon when he comes to work at the lighthouse. So you can blame me for the whole thing.
I practiced this line already. Has anybody come in during this process that didn't get to introduce themselves? Could you raise your hand? Oh, there's a lady.
I'm Gigi DeMarie from the Santa Rosa Redwood Empire, and I also belong to the San Francisco chapter. And they've got two buddies right over here.
Hi, I'm Larry Hall, president of the Redwood Empire chapter in San Francisco, but also a member of the San Francisco chapter.
Nancy Shaw, Redwood Empire chapter.
Okay, everybody. Well, I'm going to start the conversation, and tonight we're having our definition of courage. Has everybody been thinking about it since you've been looking at the program? Apparently not. Okay, definition of courage, according to me, is doing what has to be done irregardless, like when they ask you to MC or when you have to go somewhere and you have no choice but to take the bus. That, you know, and just doing what has to be done irregardless of the difficulties involved, that's my definition of courage. Does anybody else have any ideas? Somebody said getting through this hotel.
Do you want me to go around with the mic?
If anybody has any ideas, raise their hand and Ed will come around with the mic and we'll just keep it flowing from there.
Hi, this is Shirley Manning, and anyone who's gone through our residential program will have heard this. These are not my words. I'm paraphrasing someone else and I'm sorry I can't tell you who. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is doing what you must do, even if you are afraid.
Okay. Hi, this is Doug Martin. I think we have all faced many people coming up to us saying, simply because we're blind, oh, you're such an inspiration, you are so courageous. And I figured out what they were talking about and how to appropriately answer that. And my answer is, no, I'm not. I've simply had 57 years of practice. If I lost my sight for the first time 15 minutes ago, I'd be afraid to take two steps forward just as well.
Courage is walking out the door every day to go to work when you're blind.
Okay, courage, I think well, right now the most immediate for me is since I just newly employed in Fairfield. I live in Pacheco. I own a mobile home, which right now with the market I can't sell because the market isn't favorable. I can't rent it out because of park rules, so I have to take the courageous effort of put out the money to hire drivers so I could make money.
Eleanor Roosevelt is purported to have said, every day do something that scares you.
Okay, gang. When I first suggested this topic to the president's meeting, I suggested courageous, daring, and outrageous. So I'm going to take this out a couple of notches toward the outrageous. Let me tell you about the time I shot off an M16. This is Linda, by the way. And my brother-in-law, my husband's brother in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, is a gun enthusiast, and he owns an M16, which my husband and I fondly refer to as Old Betsy. So we went out in the woods one day with Larry, Gilbert, my husband, Larry, his brother, and Dave, the other brother-in-law. And my sister-in-law stayed in the car, and we tromped out into the woods. And Larry's like, you know, let's just give this a try. So the guys shot off the gun, and then they're looking at each other. Well, should we let her? You know, and I'm like, yeah. So I took the gun. It was an incredibly interesting item to hold, very light and very technological. And I started shooting, and I started spinning around because it had quite a kick on it. So so my brother-in-law, Larry, stood up by my shoulder and trued my shoulder, you know, just kept my arms straight so that I would shoot straight into the woods and just notch a few trees and maybe get a squirrel, but not get any of the gentlemen that were with me. So that was my opportunity to shoot off an M16. Now I'm going to tell you about a courageous thing. I have a lovely daughter and three beautiful grandchildren, but I also had a son. And my son lived to be 18 years old, and he had retinoblastoma from the time he was a baby, and then later got some bone cancer in his face. And my definition of courage is bearing witness to someone's suffering when you can't do much about it other than bear witness. And I would recommend this experience to anyone, difficult as it is, because it really deepens your heart.
Okay, so I liked, this is Beth Berenson, and I like, this is my outrageous and courageous. So since I was like a little kid, I wanted to jump out of an airplane. And I used to work in a hotel, and one of the guys I was having lunch with was telling me about his jumping out of airplanes. And I'm like, okay, when can I do it? My whole department one day went and we jumped out of airplanes. And the day before we went, our general manager of the hotel walked through the sales department. I just don't know what we're going to do. If anything happens, I have no sales department. And we did a tandem and we had the best time. And I was fine until we get to the door and the guy says, okay, we're going to jump now. And I'm like, I'm not sure about this, but they kick you out the door. You got to go. I mean, this is like, you're gone. So, and it was the most amazing experience, and I think everyone should do it.
Okay. Hello, this is Artis. I think the most courageous incident I can remember, been many, but when my ex-husband had several strokes and needed care, and his family kept telling the doctors what they should do, and they kept interfering all the time, and I had to step up. And I'm the kind of person, I tend to try to be a little bit too nice sometimes, and I had to take courage and just tell the doctors, hey, you can't tell his family what I have to do with him, because they aren't the ones that are living with him. I am. You have to know, and you have to listen to me when I tell you what he's doing and what's happening with him, because they don't know what he's doing at home and what's happening. And it took a lot of courage, because it's hard to, you know, tell people that, you know, that are, you know, sometimes making you feel intimidated, so.
Back in, what was it, 1995, when we had the Mura Federal Building bombed in Oklahoma City, I was working at the Veterans Hospital at the time, and within an hour of that bombing, we had a bomb threat at the hospital, and they evacuated the hospital, but I was working in the operating room. We still had patients in surgery, and somebody had to stay, so I was single. I didn't have a family. But I have to tell you, I was never more scared in my life when everybody left and just a few of us still there.
This is Bonnie, and I had two premature babies under 2 pounds. And one is 21 and one is 16.
Hi, this is Pam Pology. I'm from Temple City. I'm from the San Gabriel Valley chapter. And before I talk about the Chris, I was just going to tell you something that was kind of funny, that when my twin sister, who's blind also, when we were about 6 years of age, we were having dinner and there was a power outage. And of course my parents were sighted. My brother was sighted. And my dad says to us, girls, don't be afraid. I'm going to go get the candles. And we said, you go get them. We're going to continue eating. You guys are the ones that... You guys ought to have the dish, you, not us. But the courage I was going to mention is when I was working for AAA, for the Automobile Club of Southern California. I was there for 33 years, and I went from a sales position, secretary position, to working in the claims department, because I had asked for something with a little more challenge, stupid as I was, to do it. But... There wasn't any other blind person in the United States performing the job that I was doing. So the boss that I had, who had issues with blindness, came up to me and he said, you know, I want you to know that it's going to be up to you. If you fail, it's going to be up to you whether other blind people get into this field. And so, you know, it really made me feel intimidated, but I told him, well, you know, I hope I don't fail, but if I do, that doesn't mean that another blind person would, and that they might do better than I did. But it took a lot of courage for me, because I felt like I was really having to prove myself. So anyway, I was there for 33 years, so I guess they had to keep me for something. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pam Metz, and I'll tell you two things. The courageous thing, no. We'll start with the courageous thing. The courageous thing was I had to bury a grandson this year. And he had been a near drowning when he was six. But I had to watch my oldest daughter fall apart and put herself back together from losing her son. And I wanted to step in and take over for her. But I had to let her do it herself, because it was her son. And she did, later on she came and told me thank you for letting her handle it herself. Because I sure wanted to take that pain away from her and let me carry that pain for her. And the courageous thing is my husband and I decided to buy a home. Lord help us, Jesus. It's funny watching two blind people go look. We knew what we wanted. We bought a mobile home. We knew we wanted three bedrooms and two baths. So I'll have my own bathroom and he'll have his own office. But it was funny because the realtor looked at us and we took a sighted friend with us and the realtor thought we were joking. And she was like, you serious? You really are going to buy this? Well, you think we came all the way from San Gabriel to Chatswood just to chat with you? So it was very interesting to go ahead and look at the place and have a sighted friend check it out for us. And believe me, Donna knows our sighted friend. She really checked it out. And then sign away our lives with the escrow papers. Okay, and then pack up all by myself and move everything. It was hilarious. We are still finding things. And we moved in November. So I have to say it is an interesting prospect for two blind people to look and buy and move into a new home.
I went through a courageous thing when I was very, very young. I had to have major heart surgery, open heart surgery, in fact, when I was about 4 years old. And I had complications, but when my parents were told that I needed to have a surgery over again, they asked me because it was a hard decision for my parents to make. So they decided to ask me what I thought. And I said, oh, yeah, the nurses are really sweet and nice. And so based on that, they went ahead and had the second open heart surgery, and that was successful. And as a result, I'm here today.
Hi, I'm Irene. I want to tell you first about the most outrageous thing is when I learned how to drive at age 30. One of my best friends took me in her car, and her fiancé was behind me, and she was in the front seat with me. And they took me out to the desert. I lived in Barstow at the time, and I just drove around in circles in the middle of the desert. The most inspiring thing I want to talk about is my sister, who has passed now, watching her raise her young son, and she had such a hard time. She was also blind and diabetic, and she passed away from complications to diabetes. But when her son was about 9 years old, she realized that she could no longer take care of him. And she gave her son up to my father, and he raised him till he graduated from high school. My courageous thing, I would have to say, is going back to school at age 50. I graduated with my bachelor's degree in December of 2009, and hopefully I'll be trying to get into graduate school sometime in the near future. Yeah.
My hardest thing that I've done is I don't usually talk. I used to be real shy, and I never stood up for myself, and learning how to advocate for myself was really hard. When I started losing my vision again in 99, and I lost it, I had to sit in a director's office and listen for 4 hours being told, now that I can't see, I can't do my job. For 4 hours. After those 4 hours, I felt like nothing, and then I sat in the supervisor's office for another 4 hours. I decided after that, which was the hardest thing to do, is stick up for myself, and I told them, look, I have three kids. I have nobody to take care of me but myself, and I'm not going on disability because it doesn't make enough money as I get here. I do know my job. I can do my job with accommodations. And you will provide them. That was the hardest thing I ever did in my life. And it was very scary.
Hi, since the topic was changed or augmented, I figured I would grab this again. The most outrageous thing I've ever done was when I was a sophomore in college. hitchhiking as a totally blind person from Illinois to Illinois and back. That was just totally, totally stupid, but it was outrageous. As far as the courageous, I would have to say that the most courageous thing for me was after a very, very major failure, picking it up again and having enough self-respect. When I was hired, I was a research scientist doing acoustics research for the Navy, and I was the token disabled person, and I had overcome all of the barriers, showing everyone that a blind person could, and if given the opportunity, and, you know, I was the first, maybe only, Navy-certified blind scuba diver. I needed it for my job, various things like that. In 1995, I went through a very severe depression and was absolutely unable to do my job. And the people I worked with, of course, were trying to find a gracious way to get rid of me because I couldn't do my job. But the people in the blind community were really, a lot of them were very angry with me. They looked at me and they said, Doug, you had it all and you threw it away. And to stand up after that and continue to regard myself with dignity and self-respect and make a new life after that was probably for me the most courageous.
Hello everyone, my name is Brenda. I am somewhat newly blind. Legally blind. I do have between 5% and 10% functional vision. And, you know, when this, you know, blindness happened to me, you know, 2.5 years ago, I was, you know, in the prime of life. I was successful in, you know, the standards of many people. I worked for, the state in the Department of Corrections, and, I really just thought I had my life together and things going. And, afterwards, I kind of, really just kind of had to be courageous and just realize, hey, stuff happens. And just, what do I got to do? I have to learn to do things over. I have to, you know, learn how to do certain things different ways. And didn't really miss a beat. I came out of the hospital and right away went into physical therapy, rehab, different trainings as far as mobility, braille, computers, independent living skills and everything. And for that, really, I really think in a way that's just being courageous is stepping out in boldness and, you know, taking life by the horns and just going after it. And I also have a quite outrageous story to tell. I think about maybe 7 to 8 months into my blindness, I decided, you know what? I have a car, and I can see a little bit. And this is, I'm pretty sure it's illegal too, but I found myself driving on city streets from my physical therapy to my apartment. With a sighted person with me to, you know, make sure I was staying in between the lines and whatnot. But I think the heart attack I almost gave myself kept me from ever trying that again.
Well, my name is Linda Amati, and I actually had two experiences that I feel I had to be fairly courageous to get through. In 2008, 2 days before Thanksgiving, I rudely met the kitchen floor and broke my left hip. I managed to get to the phone and call 911 and my mom. I will never know how I did it. I have no idea because the pain was tremendous. Okay, that was one experience. In 2010, I missed the convention here in Northern California, because I was in the hospital after breaking my other hip. And I was in an auto accident with my, she was driving. She is in her 80s. And all I can say is that I praise God that I had the worst of it, because if she had had what I had, I don't think she would have survived. I ended up breaking the right hip to the point where they, and of course in both cases I had surgery done, and had to have a rod put into my femur. So I'm using a walker and all that good stuff, but all I can say is that I praise God that I made it through both of those.
Okay, everybody, it's about time to round it up. Do we have very many more people who want to speak?
Just one more.
Okay. One more person?
Two more.
Okay. Two more? Okay, let's make it short, because it's almost 6:35, and we need to be out of here by 6:45, so.
Okay, quickly, this is Melissa Hudson. Last year, I, with a few other blind hikers, hiked up to the top of Mount Baldy, which is over 10,000 feet. And so doing it blind, and considering I was diagnosed at the age of 3 with juvenile rheumatoid arthritis, so the little girl who could barely walk some days in the hospital got to hike up a mountain, was pretty awesome, and doing it blind. So, hey, all right.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Joseph. I want to tell you an experience that I have last summer in Florida. Went to Disney World with Get Out Travel. And, you know, there's a lot of people will say a blind person cannot swim with the dolphins. And I said to myself, I'm going to do this. And, of course, I was a little bit scared of the water. But then my wife rooted me on. She says, you can do this. And I did it. And it was fun. I got to swim with the dolphins.
One more over here.
Okay, the most courageous thing I didn't realize was tonight was actually sitting and having dinner with Louie. It's been courageous. Very courageous. The story that was told earlier about someone with retinoblastoma, I had retinoblastoma when I was a child, and my courageous and outrageous story is when I was probably about 9, I outrageously decided to show off my prosthetic to my friends and proceeded to drop it down a drain. That was the outrageous part. The courageous part was actually going home and telling my parents about it, which I was terrified about, but I did, and I got punished, of course. And the last courageous thing is, recently my dad was, diagnosed with cancer, and, I had a conversation with him on the train coming over here, and they finally went through all the diagnosis and everything, and they gave him his treatment, and he has to go through chemo at age 80, and he said and this to me is the most courageous thing, so it goes to him, that he's doing it for me and my brothers and my niece and my mother, out of courage. So sort of a tribute to him. Thank you.
All right. We've all discovered there are lots of definitions of courage. I noticed not one of them is getting out the door in the morning. I know. It's interesting to see a different perspective from what we do every day, and from what the sighted world thinks they could never do if they had to be challenged with something. And we all know and are evidence that we can do what we need to do if we need to do it, and we can't figure out a way to back out. And then sometimes we do things that people wonder where our brains were at, but that's all right. I thank you all for participating in this, and this has been a fun discussion. And if anybody has any other ideas, let your presidents of your chapters know, and we will just pass them on and do something for the next. Yeah, October, whatever the next one is.